Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is none other than Mark Austin from the Muskox Farm. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Amy. Good to see you.
Thank you for being here. I've got a couple of quick Farmland Trust announcements before we jump into your and I's business. First, we just put on sale tickets for the fourth annual Drink Beer Save Farms event to be held Saturday, June 1st, at Paradise, Alaska, out here in Palmer. All of the information can be found on our website, akfarmland.com, tickets for sale at brownpapertickets.com. That's typically a sellout event, so go early, get your tickets, et cetera, et cetera. More on that later. Second announcement, just another friendly reminder that it's farmers market season soon. I think many markets are opening this weekend, Mother's Day weekend and the weekend beyond. So look for your local farmers market. Support your neighbors that are growing food for your table. Finally, Mark, welcome. Thanks for being here. How many times have you been on the radio with me, Mark?
I don't know. Probably,
a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. We have this event that we do together that we don't need to talk about yet, right? Like, it's far out there on the calendar. But
never
just
too early to talk about Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest, yes. First Saturday in October.
Social event of the season for all
sure.
of South Central Alaska.
Absolutely. All Alaska-grown meal, all the best beer in town.
Fifth annual.
Really?
Half a decade.
That'll be the fifth time we put that
together.
Incredible event on. That's awesome. That's awesome. So mark your calendars, but that's not why we're here to talk today. Today, I wanted to chat with you about a couple of things. There's some big things going on over at the Muskox Farm. You've got some big kind of lifelong dreams being accomplished and happening this summer. So I want to talk about that. You've got new babies on the ground, and you've got one of your first events of the season is coming up this weekend, right?
It's true. Mother's Day, which has gotten to be almost a, I think, at least third generational event. We've been on the property here in Palmer for 33 years. We've always had an opening day on Mother's Day.
Okay.
So we've got just open house on Mother's Day. Moms, of course, are always free. We always have a flower for mom.
Okay.
Everyone else is just by a donation. We recommend a donation to the farm. So appreciate that. We'll have the grill going, popcorn.
Ooh.
We'll have fiber artist demonstrations going on. Baby muskox.
Yeah.
Nothing cuter than a baby. We've got two muskox this year.
Two new babies.
With our cheese theme.
You know cheese is my love language, right?
I do know that. We did it for you, especially for you.
Right. What are the new babies' names?
Well, we got a little girl named Gouda and a little boy named Munster.
Oh, my goodness. Two of my favorite cheeses, Munster and Gouda. I love it. How did you pick those two? Were these suggestions by staff or the community? How did you decide?
I think that the probably cheese theme came from all my Wisconsin bound. Or
I had to say it.
Yeah, I know. Staff that's from Wisconsin and cheese is not just your love language.
Right.
And
many people speak cheese.
There's been a number of themes always are suggested, and the cheese made it to the final cut. Then we put together a short list, and then we fight over the naming after that. But it was a pretty benign year for duking it out over the names.
Gouda and Munster. I love it. So that brings up two. You had two babies. Some years it's more, some years it's less, some years. Have you had a year with no babies recently?
Nope. We've got to a point where we really want to maintain the size of the herd. We're at a great number. We've got great herd health, great pasture health. We want to maintain a breeding program, but we really are not looking to grow the herd. Looking at the number of animals and their ages, it's going to be, unless we have these really small calf crops over the next several years, we are going to see those numbers continue to creep up. And we really just, you know, as a nonprofit, it's quality over quantity.
Sure.
We are very, very happy to just keep the herd a manageable size and maybe even over the next, 10 years, see it even back down a little bit just to keep ourselves in a really safe place and just be able to give the best care we can at all times.
Based on the carrying capacity of the land and what other factors come into play there when you think about your herd size?
So the animals are eating off the property during the summer months. Right. Everything that we grow is what they eat. We move them around a lot. We've got quite a few pastures. We put up miles and miles of fence in the last decade, which gives us a chance to get animals on and off pasture. So the pastures can recover a lot faster and a lot easier without the constant attention of animals. And So there's certainly a carrying capacity there. We don't want to get to where we deplete the soil for something that because we're overgrazing. And then in the winter, of course, it's just free choice hay that we give to them.
Yeah.
And so that is certainly a big factor in what does it. It's also just the, you know, the people hours that go into it. We,
sure.
Because of the approach to agriculture that we take, this really low stress, gentle agriculture, there's a lot more hours that are people hours put into taking care of these. They're all weighed, you know, once a week. The time that we put into each individual animal is pretty extreme. So it comes down to staffing also
sure.
just handling facilities and
yeah.
you know, how many animals can we get through the facility in a given amount of time. So there's a lot of reasons to just keep it just within our boundaries and
yeah.
keep it under control. So
yeah.
that's what's, you know, quality is everything.
Right.
Doing good
and,
work.
A little bit of selfless and shameless promotion there. You talk about soil health and carrying capacity of the land and your conservation plan for the property. That's just a friendly reminder that Farmland Trust did work with you guys to permanently protect that acreage. And you're partnering with NRCS, the Natural Resource Conservation Service, to monitor, right, the grass health, the soil health, the carrying capacity of the land, and those types of things. So just, you know, shout out to you guys for choosing to do that, for putting the property in Farmland Trust and working hard to protect it forever, right?
It's incredible. It's just, we're so grateful for the work that Farmland Trust does, and we were so thrilled to be a part of that whole program.
Yeah.
And then just to, you know, to get that big picture approach to taking care of agriculture. And
right.
as you said, the oversight that continues, the work that Farmland Trust continues to do
yeah.
to, you know, keep an eye on us and keep on the property. We want to do our best work. And
sure.
through oversight, we get another outside perspective to make sure all that stays on track. And
yeah.
that's just super important to us.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it was cool to be able to do that with you. The other thought that came into mind regarding that is that someone from out of town came into town the other day for a weekend, and they said something about, you know, what should we go visit? And someone in the group said, oh, the muskox farm. And they said, what's that? And it was really interesting to watch the group of people kind of try and say what the muskox farm is, because this outsider was thinking it's just a ranch whose animal is muskox. But it was trying to explain to them that no, they're not harvesting the animals for meat. They're not harvesting or they're not growing the babies to sell them. You know, like this is not like cattle ranching. So
right.
talk to people. Imagine I'm that person from outside who doesn't really understand. Is this a muskox ranch? Tell
right.
me what you're not or what you are, I guess. Talk to me about that a little bit for folks that don't know.
Sure. You know, I think most importantly for me, I mean, it's all about the animals, of course, first and foremost. And it's also, I think, really important for me not to ever be viewed as a roadside attraction. I think that there's...
Right. You're not a petting zoo.
We're not a petting zoo. We're, you know, where we take our work very, very seriously, and I think we do very, very good work. And
mm-hmm.
so if someone comes to the farm to visit, I hope, you know, even if they come up with some sense that it is a roadside attraction, what I hope they leave with is a deep appreciation for the project, the animals, the people that care for them, and the work that we do. And the, you know, the fiber that comes off these animals is one of the finest fibers in the world, one of
yeah.
the warmest. And, you know, so just trying to work towards establishing geographically appropriate agriculture, learning how to work with these animals, and you know, just doing the very best work in captivity. This project is one of a kind in the world. No one
Absolutely.
Has ever done anything like this. And
yeah.
there are other captive animals in the world, but no one doing the work that we're doing, and no
right.
one, you know, we're very successful at, you know, great herd health and keeping them alive. And
yeah.
so we're very proud of that.
Yeah, as you should be. Quick reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit. Joining me in the studio this morning is Mark Austin from the Muskox Farm, the one and only, the world renowned, the like nothing else Muskox Farm here in Palmer. So you kind of quietly started to mention fiber, and we know that this coming Saturday, Mother's Day Sunday is opening day at the farm. Is there fiber on hand? Can we see fiber? Can we touch fiber? What's going to be happening with fiber on Sunday?
You bet. We will be we will be open from 10 till 6
okay.
as our opening day and every day thereafter for the rest of the summer, 10 to 6.
That's daunting.
Yes.
But go on.
Indeed. We're getting ready for it.
Yeah.
We will have fiber artists that are at the farm working with Kivyat, working with other fibers. We'll have, of course, our garments and yarns that are available for people to see and to look at. And, of course, if they're interested to purchase,
And the gift shop area is open during those 10 to 6 business hours all year or all summer long, right? If I don't have time to come and walk amongst the animals, but I really want to buy some fiber or buy a hat or buy something, you guys are there, right?
We are there. Yeah. The gift shop's open. Which we'll segue into, I'm sure, in a minute, but we're going to be kind of moving our operations for the summer to a couple of temporary buildings.
Oh, okay.
So this Mother's Day will be an opportunity for people to kind of say goodbye to our Colony Barn as we've known it.
Okay.
And we might even have some Sharpies to write on the walls, little notes to the barn for people who've come through so many times.
Oh, cool.
Before we start a just massive renovation of that building. So we're going to run everything for Mother's Day right through the Colony Barn, as we always have, before we get ready to shine it up and prop it up and make sure it's going to stick around for another 85 years.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. That's been one of your goals since you've been at the farm for, you don't have to tell us how long, but it's been a while. You've been there a while, right?
It's been a long time. Actually, I remember going up into the hayloft of the Colony Barn probably in right 95 or 96 and just being, as the Aussies would say, gobsmacked with the space and how just incredible it is up there and the views from up there and
the
potential of that space. And then as I came back in as a director, there was a lot of work to, you know, do a lot of housekeeping around where, you know, the farm had gotten into. And so there's been quite a few years have gone into this project, and we've been writing grants and fundraising for the last several, and we've got the project fully funded at this point.
Woohoo,
Woo-hoo is right.
Yeah.
It's been free money is not free in any way. And
no.
So it's going to be an incredible renovation. We're going to actually go in and we're going to, you know, what's so unique about these Colony Barns is, of course, that gambrel roof that we all know and love. And we're going to actually go in there and painstakingly remove the roof, swing it out of the way with a big crane.
Okay.
And the working barn that was underneath it and patched together over decades will all be demoed, and we'll starting new with a brand new building. And it's going to give us just really world-class museum space. Our visitor reception is going to be just incredible difference from where we were. We will have our offices in there, public restrooms, huge upgrades. There'll be a 10-foot in diameter patinaed, rusted steel silo on the outside, which is going to house an elevator, so super accessible for all of our visitors.
Super cool.
And then we're going to end up with just year-round warmed-in, dried-in classroom, studio, workshop space, and we're going to be able to offer programming that we've never, ever done before. You know, if we want to hold a 5-day fiber artist retreat or a knitting workshop, we'll be able to do that.
Yeah, in the dead of winter.
In the dead of winter. We have routinely have had to turn away school groups throughout the school year because we've not had a warm place. We'll now be able to bring a group of children into the farm.
That matches the school year, like during the winter.
That matches the school year. Bring them in, have, you know, this classroom space inside, you know, present a program to them, regardless of how windy or cold it is. Go for a stomp. Bring them back inside, warm them all up, give them a hot cup of cocoa, and continue programming. So it's going to be
a game changer.
I mean, the most interesting thing for this property since we brought a muskox onto the property in 1986.
Second to permanently protecting it, right?
Right.
Right, right.
And Oktoberfest.
And Oktoberfest.
Like right.
The greatest thing that's ever happened.
Right.
We
so
have to make a list.
For Mother's Day, please come visit. Come say goodbye to the barn. It's going to be – we always have a great turnout. It's amazing what people do come out to see the property. But
Rain or shine.
It's going to be an incredibly just kind of special farewell to the old barn and beginning of the new barn. So it's a great time for people to – Get the before picture.
Sure. So that renovation, that construction, the demolition, all those things that'll be happening to the barn and the rebuild that's happening all this summer, are there going to be days when the farm is inaccessible to folks? Like, should people be paying closer attention to the website about closures or things like that? Or do you anticipate just being, you know, business as usual all summer?
I don't think business as usual, but we will be open all day, every day, like we have been.
Okay.
We do have two temporary buildings that have been erected in the parking lot that we're going to be able to run kind of our visitor reception, our gift shop, and our museum through. And it's going to be a change, but we're also really excited to show off the changes to the barn and the renovation that happens there. So it'll be integrated into the experience that people have.
Yeah. But anticipating completion of said project by the end of the summer?
There is a piece of paper that's been created that has a schedule that says we'll be in there October 1st.
Woohoo!
So we will hope and dream that Oktoberfest will run through the new building and be able to really show it off for the folks that come.
How exciting.
Yeah, that is incredibly exciting.
Yeah.
We'll keep our fingers crossed.
We'll keep our fingers crossed. We know how construction goes and builds, and sometimes those paper contracts are just that. But yeah,
exactly.
We'll all keep our fingers crossed for that things go well. And yeah, exciting opportunity for folks to come, you know, as you said, say goodbye to the old building and get a little taste of what used to be before the big renovation. Are there visuals of what's coming in the barn? Can you take a look somewhere at what to see?
We've got a few renderings that we will for sure have up on Sunday. We're going to hope to have some more.
Okay, cool.
And yeah, it'd be really nice for people to walk through and really get a chance to see, because the museum has already begun to be dismantled, and we're going to keep the gift shop open through Mother's Day.
Yeah.
And then we'll get everything moved out to these other buildings to run everything for the summer, try to figure out how that's going to work.
Yeah, man, and not just another thing for you to manage. Great job. I'll give you a pat on the back. So remind folks that haven't been there before, where can they find your website, social media, et cetera, to connect with the farm more from a digital presence?
Great. So Facebook, we've got thousands and thousands of followers.
It's super exciting.
Yeah. The woman who's running all of our social media has been just fantastic. And so you can find us at The Muskox Farm on Facebook. And for our website, you can get us at muskoxfarm.org. That's all one word, all lowercase, muskoxfarm.org.
Okay.
Or if you want to try something crazy old-fashioned, you can call us at 745-4151.
The phone still works,
it
right?
It still works.
Yeah. Your website includes online shopping, right? Folks can check out your gift shop online year-round. Is that correct?
Yep. We have the store online. You know, like all starving little nonprofits, there's always room to do better work and expand on that. But it gives you a good idea. And then there's always, again, the phone if there's something you're looking for. We don't have things there. But, yeah, that's all available online. We're always working on our website. It's never going to be done.
Right. They never are. That is, you say that and I just think of the things on my website that need to be improved. No time for that. Who has time for websites? But that's cool that for folks that maybe don't or haven't been out to the Muskox Farm, realize that there's a gift shop in there or what might be available, you can check it out online, muskoxfarm.org. Very good. Another quick reminder that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit. Joining me in the studio this morning is Mark from the Muskox Farm. We're just talking about the upcoming event, Mother's Day weekend, the barn renovation. Lots of cool stuff happens at the Muskox Farm throughout the summer. Over the last couple of years, there's been a few concerts, some music events apart from Oktoberfest, you know, the signature event. But you've got some other concerts and stuff coming up, right?
We do. We are, because of the construction, we're going to be really encroaching on our space that we have been hosting shows. So rather than the ambitious 9-show schedule that we had last year, we're going to just have 2.
Okay.
But they're going to be 2 great shows. Mm-hmm. We've got the Super Saturated Sugar Strings booked for, goodness, I believe it's the 14th. It's a Friday of June.
Okay.
And they will be here with, you caught me off guard, goodness.
Oh, I'm sorry.
An opening band that's traveling up from outside for it. They've got a real great world beat sound, super fun band that's going to be coming up. The Sugar Strings are really trying to support as well and get an audience. And then it looks, I think we're 99% or more that we're going to do Horseshoes and Hand Grenades again this summer. We'll be coming up from Wisconsin. These guys are
so good,
big and getting bigger all the time. So we're grateful that we're able to host them. We'll see how much longer until they're just filling stadiums around the country.
No kidding.
Right now we're thrilled to have them. So that'll be fun to have that back. We will do our knitting workshops as events throughout the winter. We'll be hosting our Wildlife Wednesdays. There's tons of events going on all the time. We've been putting a lot of energy, and we're going to keep all that going to the absolute best of our ability around this construction.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm also looking forward to getting it done and having a permanent place to host even more and more events, because we just are so grateful our community here in Palmer and Wasilla and all of South Central Alaska. And we know we reach out and we touch people all over, and we just are going to have so much greater capacity to do that as we get farther into this and get this barn done.
Pretty exciting change. It'll be super. I haven't seen many of the renditions of it, and I've been trying to picture it a couple different times as we've talked about it, and I'm super excited to see what it ends up being. And you know, it is one of those showcase properties for Farmland Trust. You know, we protect a lot of private farms, places that people never get to go. So it's super cool that we've worked with you guys to protect the Muskox Farm. It's someplace that can be highlighted for us, as we can point people, go check out the Muskox Farm. And it's exciting that you guys are getting that done and keeping the heritage of the Colony Barn. And I'm super excited to see it. Super excited.
It's going to be amazing. Yeah, I really encourage, you know, people who are local here, we'd love just to, you know, you don't need to come out and, you know, go on a full tour. Just come out and visit and see the barn and see the progress. It's going to be super exciting to watch this progress throughout the summer and as we get it closer to completion. Because it's going to be an amazing property, an amazing facility, and we're just so grateful. Tons of support. Rasmussen Foundation was really big in helping us to make this happen. The M.J. Murdoch Charitable Trust out of Washington. And our greatest funder has been the Margaret A. Cargill Philanthropies, who, interestingly, we don't fit any of their programs. You can't ask them for money. They have to invite you.
Ooh.
And I've had a wonderful opportunity to really get to know their kind of top office suite, the executive suite, over a lot of years. And so they had just so much belief in the project and the work that we're doing out of this building that despite not fitting their funding, they have agreed to. They made a cash contribution to our capital campaign.
That's
so
awesome.
Outside of their funding structure or their program structure. So that's been great. So those three foundations and some really great support from the community and our grassroots fundraising to make this happen.
Yeah, awesome. I love it. We in the nonprofit world often find that we don't always fit the mold of the organizations that are trying to give money away, right?
Right.
And you're like, no, I don't do that. Nope, I don't do that. But let me tell you what I do. That's exciting that they got involved. And you know the community does rally around everything that you do. And it'll be exciting to watch. And we'll regarding those concerts, we'll just remind folks to watch the Facebook page and watch the website for those dates and times and the band names, et cetera.
We're actually, I shouldn't commit, but I think it's today or tomorrow. We should have the brown paper tickets, should have super saturated sugar strings. I think the Renegade Rogues, I want to say, is the opening band there. So.
Yeah. And do you remember the date of Horseshoes and Hand Grenades? Again, unfair question. Sorry.
I want to say August 12th. It's actually the same day as Running with the Bulls. So it'll be the second Sunday in August. So it'll be a big day at the farm. Yeah, that was a sellout last year at 300 tickets without any effort. So once we get those tickets up, I certainly encourage people. We're not going to increase the number
capacity
of people on that one. It's a big show for a little farm, so we're thrilled to have them.
Yeah, they're a super fun band. Big Packers fans too. They are.
Yeah.
So the Muskox Farm. You've got these events coming up. You've got the barn renovation. You have got Mother's Day. And we talked a little bit about why you guys are there, that it's gentle, sustainable agriculture. It's not a petting zoo. It's not a working ranch in the thought of the way people typically would think about a livestock operation. You're not selling meat. You're not, you know, but you're trying to educate people about this animal, right? And its history in Alaska. What else is the point of it all, the reason that you're there?
So the original concept was geographically appropriate agriculture.
Right.
The guy who founded the organization, you know, back in the 50s, what he really wanted to envision was being able to bring an animal into domestication in Alaska that was appropriate to this region. He didn't want to introduce agriculture that was a pig or a chicken or a goat that was domesticated in the Mediterranean basin like so many of our domesticates were.
Right.
And so it was this bold experiment, and there's very, very few animals that have ever lended themselves to being domesticated.
Sure.
You know, for example, a zebra looks a lot like a horse, but for 7,000 years, people have been trying to put a saddle on them, and it just isn't happening.
Doesn't happen, yeah.
So it was a bold experiment, and the idea that he was going to bring this to fruition was a kind of crazy idea, but it's been successful, and we don't have floppy ears and spots on these guys, but we work with a very docile and tamed animal for sure. We gently hand comb all the animals on the property.
Right.
And so by the time we jump in a stall with a muskox and a hairpick, we want to make sure that we did our good work on the front side. And so that's kind of the testimony, I think, to the work that we do and our ability to work with these animals in a way that's effective, efficient, and very humane. And it's kind of it's a partnership that we've worked out with them.
And for not only Alaskans, but for outsiders that get to come walk amongst the muskox, it's a pretty cool experience to look at those animals and kind of be like, what is that thing, you know, and to listen to the sounds that they make and to see their, you know, their hair and their fiber move. There are so many misconceptions about muskox, right? Like, I bet you could just start rattling them off. But this just happened the other day where someone put up on the screen a bison, right? And someone at the table said, ooh, muskox, right? So they get mistaken for other animals all the time, right? What animal are they most closely related to? Because I found this really interesting when I first heard it. You know, you look at them and you think, oh, that's a... Is it a goat? Is it a sheep? Is it a – what is that thing?
They have been on their own branch, their family tree, for probably a million years. They're Arctic goats. I mean, their closest relatives are goats.
Okay.
They're
not cows.
When you start thinking
about
that, they can certainly act like goats and prance up. I built a pile of snow at the tractor this winter for a little enrichment toy for them.
Sure.
And it was probably 12 feet. And they were the happiest little goats playing on that mound
of
snow.
To see who could get on top.
As long as the winter held on. Yeah, it was great. They couldn't leave it alone. But yes, they're most closely related to goats.
What do they eat? You said that they browse the farm, but do they eat anything unique? Do you get special grain rations made for them at Mill and Feed? Like, what's unique about what they eat?
They're incredibly opportunistic eaters. When they were reintroduced to Alaska, they were reintroduced to Nunavak Island. They've been known to go down on the beaches and eat kelp. But in their true natural environment, they really are a browser. In the summertime, they would go down to lush river valleys, and they'd be nibbling on the dwarf alder, birch, and willow branches that are growing down there. On the farm, they're grazers, and they're just fine doing that. We do supplement them with a pelletized feed that's built at Alaska Mill and Feed.
Yeah.
It's micronutrients, that vitamins, minerals that they're not getting here that they would get in the wild.
Okay.
We also give them browse almost daily in the summertime. We'll go to nearby hay fields and where saplings are encroaching back on hay fields, and we'll pull those up and feed those to them, and they will attack those. And it's
very
kind of
excited.
Another free choice.
Treat.
Yeah. If they're, it's kind of like the days that you're like, I just need a salad, and they'll just go after them. If there's something in there, and other groups of animals, or other times they'll be less interested. So just keeping lots of good options for them.
Yeah.
And so the ration, the feed mash ration they get all year, it changes a little bit seasonally, but they get that year round.
Yeah. So, Mark, over your time at the muskox farm, you've accomplished some of the big things. The farm's permanently protected. You're getting the barn renovated. You know, the herd capacity is right where it needs to be. The land is healthy. Put on your magic goggles for 5 years from now. What's next? What's the next thing that you want to have checked off the box at the muskox farm?
Wow. Certainly getting this building, once it's done, really kind of into its most productive state is going to be exciting. There's so much programming that needs to be built. And so that'll certainly be a big part of the next 5 years. There's, you know, big picture wish list things. There's some be nice to change out some of our housing that we have at the farm. The interns occupy an older structure, and it'd be nice to get that traded out. There's always been talk about doing our own fiber production or yarn processing on the property, which would be huge. We would like to renovate our handling facilities just to, you know, make it – there's new ideas and concepts in handling that come up all the time. And we'd certainly like to update that and make it as – again, if there's anything that we can do to make it more stress-free, more gentle and easier on the animals, then we'd like to do that too. So – we'll see. A lot of opportunity. We're not done.
Yeah. No, it's never done, is it?
No.
Well, Mark, I appreciate you taking the time to join me on Ag Matters Radio this morning. I look forward to seeing you guys on Mother's Day this Sunday for opening weekend and throughout the summer on all the cool events. So thanks for doing the work that you do, and we'll see you this summer.
Well, that sounds great, Amy. Thanks so much for having me, and thank you for the work you do in Farmland Trust and everything that Farmland Trust does to protect this place that we all love to call home. And probably the reason we're all attracted to being here in the first place was the agriculture that's happening here, and it's being protected by Farmland Trust. So we're very grateful for the work you do.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.